when you come across a text like this gospel text, you want to get first the situation. They're going through, it's a Shabbat, and they began to pick the heads of the grain and eat them. Now, the Pharisees saw this and said that was unlawful. It wasn't. There were many opinions about that gesture. And so our Lord could have just said, "I'm the Lord, you be quiet." But he didn't. He argued with them in order to win them over. You know, what mercy. So first he invokes the example of David when he and his companions were hungry. And they went and they needed bread. And the priest there at that shrine went and got the bread. That's the bread of offering, they call it here, the show bread or the protheses. There were 12 loaves of bread baked every day and placed before the Lord in the sanctuary. Those were the 12 tribes of Israel. So they were sacred, and the priests were the only ones supposed to eat them, but it wasn't like never, never, never. Some of the laws got much more rigid after our Lord's day. So the first thing our Lord does is give them a precedent from David. This is kindness. This is mercy. These men are all caught up in the law and its prescriptions and the conclusions you draw from it. And he argues with them out of mercy. So he first says, well, we have the example of David, who was not just plucking some grain, which everybody admitted that, you know, there's a path through somebody's field. You can eat the stuff that's right there. You can't go into his field and take it, but you can eat that. These men ate the bread of offering. That's his first argument. Our forefather, David, my forefather, I'm his son, the one promised. He did it. Okay. And then the priests do a lot of things on the Sabbath. They sacrifice. They do many things that are, according to the letter of the Sabbath, of the law, not to be done. He's implying that what I'm doing now is part of the whole ritual of offering. I'm instructing my disciples. I'm talking to the people. I'm preaching the kingdom. I'm healing them. I'm reconciling them. That belongs to the temple cult. Then he has another argument. I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. You realize what he just said? That's the house of God. That's the center of all Israel's worship, all Israel's life. It's like the phrase in John, if you remember, chapter 2. Actually, I think it's the end of chapter 1, isn't it, Jess? Where our Lord says to the Israelite in whom there is no guile, you will see greater things than this. You will see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Well, that's Jacob's dream, right? And the dream is that this is the place of the temple at Beit Shan, the shrine. Jesus is saying the Son of Man is greater than the temple. He is the new temple. God dwells in him. You come to him and you meet God. Quite a powerful statement. He says the same thing here. Something greater than the temple is here. That's quite a claim. And then, if you knew what this meant, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He would not have condemned these innocent men. Now he argues from another text in Scripture. I desire hesed, not sacrifice. You remember that's in Hosea. I don't need the ritual, I need hesed, which is loyalty to me and loyalty to one another. Covenant loyalty. That's what I desire. And then last, the most extraordinary claim of all. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Lord of the Sabbath. That's the fourth commandment. That was Adonai himself gave that commandment. And this man is standing there saying, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Then who is he? Now you see how gently he works with them? He argues with them to try to win them over. What patience, what love, what generosity. That's what ought to happen if you're trying to evangelize and somebody starts arguing with you. You ask the Holy Spirit, how can I treat this person with respect and love? Not, how can I win the argument? You want to bring this person to know Christ, don't you? So, this is an awesome one. Or you could take the very last line, you see, or the very last two. Our Lord says he's greater than the temple and that he's Lord of the Sabbath. What does that mean? On the verbal level, we got it. He won the argument. Good for him. But did we get any revelation from that? Have we any experience deeper of who this Son of Man is? Huh? That he's Lord of the Sabbath, and that he's greater than David, and that he's greater than the temple. You see how some texts require a lot of thought. Now, I nearly brought this down, this lovely passage, but I'll quote it. Not a biblical passage, it's from the book by Dennis Farkas Falvey, a friend of mine, on the Scriptures. And he's saying, look, reading the Scriptures is so that you can experience the realities they mediate. It's not to get information. It's to experience the realities they mediate. We have all these claims of Jesus about who he is. You see, and we're meant to experience those, not just know, oh, he won the argument, good for him. No, experience who is Jesus. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit takes the realities that are in the text and impresses them on our own spirit. That is Lectio Divina. We got glimpses of that when we have in the community the tradition that you get revelation from Scripture. Well, what, unpack that. What does that mean? It means that you experience the realities and not just read the text. So we have all of these things here, you see. He's greater than the temple. He desires hesed, not sacrifice. And he is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, we got the words. He won the argument. Have we got the reality? Have we got the reality? Does our spirit know, touch the reality of Jesus Christ? That's the point of the text.